that there was a substance that looked like salt on Mrs. Inglethorpe's cocoa tray. Accordingly, I sent a sample of the cocoa to be analyzed.
But Dr. Barstein had already done that, hadn't he?
Aha, but he had asked the analyst to look for traces of strychnine. I wanted to find out whether it contained a narcotic.
And, of course, it did.
You had administered a safe but effective narcotic, both to Mademoiselle Cynthia's coffee and to Mrs. Inglethorpe's cocoa.
You can imagine my feelings when the poor soul died in agony and everyone said she'd been poisoned. It was the most awful hour of my life, and I shall never forget it. Now I understand why you offered your services as a father confessor, Monsieur Poirot. I should have told you everything.
So now we are able to explain why the symptoms of strychnine poisoning took so long to make their appearance.
You mean that the drugged cocoa taken on top of the poisoned coffee would have delayed its effect?
Exactly, Monsieur Laurence. But we come now to a little difficulty. Mrs. Inglethorpe never drank her cup of coffee. Do you remember the stain on the carpet of Mrs. Inglethorpe's room? It was still damp and smelled strongly of coffee. I realized what must have happened when I put my little case on the table near the window and it instantly tipped up. The same thing must have happened when Mrs. Inglethorpe put her coffee down on it. And so, she heated up her cocoa instead.
So she never drank any coffee at all?
No. And yet the strychnine must have been administered between 7 and 9 that evening.
So, how was it done?
Through a substance so suitable for disguising its taste that it is extraordinary that no one thought of it. Her mitten.
You mean the murderer introduced the strychnine into her tonic?
No. There was no need for that.
Her tonic already contained strychnine. I pointed that out at the inquest.
And it was perfectly harmless. But when a bromide is introduced into the mixture, the strychnine will be precipitated and collect at the bottom of the bottle. And the last dose will contain all of it and prove fatal.
So those bromide powders I made up for...
were added to her medicine. But you were not to know that they were to be used in that way.
No. I had no idea they could have that effect.
And the person who habitually poured out Mrs. Inglethorpe's medicine was always careful not to shake the bottle so as not to disturb the deadly sediment at the bottom.
Quite ingenious, really, when you think about it. But please go on, Monsieur Poirot.
Throughout the case, there have been indications that the tragedy was intended to take place on the Monday evening. Mrs. Inglethorpe's bell wire had been severed. Mademoiselle Cynthia was spending the night with friends.
So she would have been quite alone in her room in the right wing, completely cut off from everyone. She would have died long before medical help could have reached her.
And there would have been no one to observe the unmistakable effects of the strychnine poisoning.
Exactly. But on that Monday night, in her hurry to be on time for the concert, Mrs. Inglethorpe forgot to take her medicine.
Oh, she didn't forget it, sir. I told her she ought to take it, but she says it would do her no harm to go without it for once.
And alas, she was right. For by not taking that last fatal dose until the following evening, she prolonged her life for another 24 hours, and it is to the events of those 24 hours that I shall now turn.
Is this really necessary? None of it's getting us anywhere.
It is necessary, Mr. Inglethorpe, and as you will see, it is getting us somewhere. Let us now consider the matter of the will.
Was it the will you were looking for in Emily's room, Mary? Did you destroy it?
No, I wasn't looking for the will, Lawrence. And the only person who could have destroyed it was Mrs. Inglethorpe herself.
That's ridiculous. I thought she was supposed to have made it on the afternoon before her death. You can't tell me she destroyed it on the same day.
Nevertheless, mademoiselle, that is what happened. How else can you account for the fact that on one of the hottest days of the year, Mrs. Inglethorpe ordered a fire to be lit in her room?
Turns out like a sore thumb, really.
Mrs. Inglethorpe would have ordered a fire only because she wanted to destroy something so that no one would ever see it and could think of no other way. In fact,